can you talk dirty to me? This is like, you know, suave, Bill.
You're trying to trick me.
Into what?
Trying to think of what this
puts...
Are
you trying to seduce him, Mrs. Snyder?
No, it's just this is seduction music. How's it going,
in 1974.
Everybody?
I'm gonna take the door down and put beads up where the door used to be.
That's 60s. And
get a lava lamp.
Oh, maybe that's 70s.
That's 70s.
That would work.
That's all it took? Is some lava?
Can you rethread the film real quick?
Yep. All right, so hi, everybody. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy, and together, well, it's Bill and Wendy. We're 312-981-7200. If you have any complaints, any concerns, we'd be happy to talk to you. Give us a call or a text. We'll be here for the next 2 hours, and then the stream, the bonus hour, takes place from noon to one.
There is a mascot out in front of Pioneer Court here.
Yes, there is.
And do you know what happens with mascots?
Well, I know from experience that people will just randomly approach them and punch them.
And it's weird because this is for Sour, what are they called?
Sour Patch.
It's National Sour Candy Day.
But it's a parking holiday for people who are coming downtown. You don't have to pay to park today.
Aren't they called, see, Sour Punch? You're asking for it.
I think it does suggest, right. It's always been Sour Patch. Did they just change it?
It's a different company.
Oh, it is? Oh, sorry.
Whoops.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
Yes, Sour Punch, and it's just, it looks like, let's bring another candy involved. It looks like a red M&M, although completely round.
Right.
And the face is giving the impression that they just ate something sour or that they were just punched. So
yeah.
I'll give you $10 to go punch it. The mascots.
Wow. Wow.
Cue up the music.
Right. Kevin, replay the theme song so we can yeah. So the author...
Oh, you're done already?
I'm filing so many complaints.
HIPAA. I'm going to break my HIPAA. I'm getting old.
I know. All right.
Can we start over?
Yeah, we need to start over. Kevin, play a song that doesn't make Wendy all amorous. Do you have a song like that? Yeah?
Right. Yeah, okay. We have to start over.
The show will start over.
It's 10-10. Oh, here we go.
No, this is music.
All right. Hey, everybody.
We're back in town. It's Bill and Wendy. The phone number's been disconnected since we last talked. We had a phone number in place, but AT&T pulled the plug on that. I don't blame them.
Baloney. 312-981-7200. Call or text.
I have to ask you this. This show, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, started with a story about Pete McMurray because he won Wimbledon, or a guy who looks like him won Wimbledon, actually. And now you came in today all excited because you said, I have another Pete McMurray story. For people who don't know, Pete is
hey, buddy.
The originator of the hey buddy phrase that's taken America by storm. And he's a co-member of our staff.
All right, I have just a funny Pete McMurray story that happened just moments ago, about a half an hour ago.
Yeah.
I was coming in the loading dock area and waiting for the elevator, and Pete was standing there next to me.
Yeah.
We get in the elevator, and there was a guy that opened the door who was coming, so Pete held the door, and he goes, I'm holding the door for you, buddy!
Oh.
And then when the guy got on, Pete does not know this guy.
Yeah.
When the guy got on, he goes, how's that for a start of a good day or something like that, and put his arm around him and touched him. Wouldn't that be weird? If you're just walking on an elevator and there's a Pete McMurray and he puts his arm around you and says, I held the door for you?
Not if I thought it was Roger Federer.
Then it would be fine.
He didn't know the guy. He touched him. That's invading the personal space bubble.
It does seem a little too much.
I looked at him like, do you know this guy? And he shakes his head, nope. But he didn't even introduce himself.
But you know what? If you had said to me, somebody here at the station did this, and I'm not going to tell you
who. I should have done it that way.
Steve, wouldn't your guess probably have been Pete McMurray?
Or Jimmy DeCastro.
Yeah.
Or maybe Jimmy, but they both have that kind of
there's a
flair to them.
Yes.
So, see, now if I did it, you'd be concerned, right? Because I wouldn't just go up. I'm not as touchy feely as Pete is.
But listen, there's an extreme. Like, you're not touchy feely at all unless it's your family,
right?
Pete is way on the other end. He'll touch and feel anyone.
Yeah,
and I'm in the middle, leaning more towards Pete.
You're more vocal.
Yes.
Often talk to people at random. But Pete will, I could see Pete.
He touches them. That's weird.
Touching them. So what was the reaction from this guy?
The guy just kind of it looked like he stiffened up a little bit.
Recoiled.
A little bit, but didn't really do anything. And
he didn't know Pete. They had no previous experience.
He's just like, I got the door for you, buddy. And he put his arm around him and like welcomed him into the elevator.
Could he sense that this guy was not comfortable with the grabbing?
Even look or care or observe.
It didn't matter to him.
No, he just did it and looked at me like I was uncomfortable.
Now, what's odd is he's not on staff at all today. He's just here keeping elevator doors open and touching people.
He was going upstairs for something. Don't get me wrong. Totally
an HR
friendly
meeting,
guy.
I bet.
Well,
I'll see him there. He's been warned, right, in your usual chair. He's been warned about this sort of behavior. You can't just touch random people.
It was just strange to me. I'm sorry. I don't like when, I'm the first person to hug someone, but I need to know it's coming, and I don't need to initiate it, but I need to know that it's happening. If someone just came up, like, on the bus or something and put their arm around me, it would be weird. I might punch them.
I hope you wouldn't punch them.
Well, you don't know who
right,
or what
yeah,
it is.
What their motive is.
Right. At least an elbow in the gut.
I'm trying to remember what movie this was. I saw a movie a couple years ago with a woman who I would say was in her 70s. And a guy just said, a guy she just met. I wish I could remember the movie. He said, boy, you have the most lovely hair. And he just starts kind of stroking her hair. And she just
Was that Donald Trump?
Yeah.
That was in a movie. That was France.
Right.
You keep yourself in great shape.
So he just kind of brushes back her hair. He goes, you have the most lovely hair. And he brushes back her hair. And she just kind of melts. And he said, what's wrong? And she goes, that's the first time anyone has touched me in years. And I'm watching this going, I bet that there's people like that who, you know, maybe they've lost their mate and years go by and there's no physical contact of any kind with anybody.
Got a new entrepreneurial ship for Pete McMurray.
We should get Pete's home phone number out. If you fit under that bracket, Pete will visit your home and touch you appropriately.
This guy didn't look like he hadn't been touched. He didn't look like he needed it, I'll tell you that.
But he didn't say anything like, hey, no touching of me.
No, it just was a little awkward. It just was something that I wish I wasn't experiencing.
And he wasn't showing off for you. He would have done that if you were there or not.
I think yes. He would have just, that's how he rolls.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how he hugs. It just was really weird. First of all, you know, I got the very vocal, hey, I got the door for you, buddy.
Which is nice.
Yes.
I like
but
that.
But then as he walked in, as the man walked into the elevator, Pete put his arm around him and like, yeah, we got you covered or something like that. I quite honestly didn't hear what Pete said because I was just,
shocked.
You're touching him.
Yeah, you were shocked.
It was a pretty close arm around the shoulder thing, too. Pulled him in a little bit.
I don't know. I don't think that's right. I think he may have overstepped his boundary.
I think maybe. Is it because he looks like Federer now that he thinks...
Yeah, now he gets away with anything now.
There was a workaround with a big gold plate?
Yes. So that guy is now in an office somewhere saying, the guy who just won Wimbledon hugged me this morning.
Weirdest thing.
Out of nowhere.
Right.
He just came up and he hugged me.
Then he started crying.
Right. He's very emotional. I don't know what to make of his emotions.
Somebody wants to know if the movie you speak of was The Notebook or a Sally Field movie.
I don't think it was. No.
You know that Sally Field one where she sort of got hipped up? She was an old lonely lady a couple years ago.
Was it? For some reason, I want to say it was a foreign film, but it could have been. It might have been. Oh, it's driving me crazy because I watched it and I was like, I was so taken aback by it. And then the realization of, oh, wow, I take it for granted because, you know, I live with my wife and daughters and there's touching involved. There's plenty of people out there who might go years without anybody touching them.
That movie's called Hello, My Name is Doris.
Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know if that's the one you're talking. That's the Sally Field movie.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Billy has texted us. I don't know who Billy is, but he says, I love when people touch me. I want to come on your show today so everyone can touch me.
Oh, well, we're not zoned for that sort of behavior, but we can certainly try to see if we can make that happen.
And somebody said, leave Pete alone. He's wonderful. He is wonderful.
He is.
It just was something unique that I've seen on an elevator.
That is unique. And I don't know if I would, like, was there any discussion about it afterwards? Did you say anything like, that's interesting that you touched that strange guy, or a stranger, not strange guy.
Right, because he wasn't a strange guy.
He was the strange guy in this mathematical
exactly. equation. But here's the weird thing. I got off at floor one, and the two of them rode up together, so I don't know what transpired floor one to seven.
Whatever happens, happens.
What happens on an elevator?
It stays on the elevator. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more stories. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Pete McMurray gave a random hug to someone, which, honestly, it's not a bad thing, but this gentleman who entered the elevator didn't look like he was expecting it and didn't look like he was necessarily liking it.
It's not a bad thing. No, here's the question that keeps playing in my head, and I don't know the answer to this. Do you think that as time has progressed, are we as a society more likely or less likely to do the sort of thing that Pete did in an elevator? Was there a time where people would have just welcomed that and said, yeah, I did a good deed for you, and now we're friends, and then a reach around, a grab, a hug?
A reach around? Wow, what did you do for him?
I don't know. And then
see you at HR. Well, our weekly meeting.
What, Steve?
I would say that's a phrase that didn't exist 25 years ago.
Right.
See you at HR.
Right. But now you hear it every day.
I think people are less likely to do it because, and it's sad, I don't know, it seems out of the ordinary now. Mm-hmm. Maybe years ago you'd let somebody go through the door first and you'd kind of put your arm on their back and say, go ahead, buddy.
Right.
And maybe you wouldn't say buddy back then.
You have to. No. It's part of the move. Well, right. But here's the thing. I think there's less innocent contact now probably than ever.
Right.
But there also is a lot more non-innocent pats and hugs and
agreed.
Hand on the back in work 30, 40 years ago too, or 20 years ago or yesterday.
Yeah. True.
Because of the rules. Because there's rules now.
Because now we'll see you in HR.
Right. Right.
Well, this guy's not going to file anything, but it just was peculiar.
Did you see the guy the other day? I believe a police officer did this. When we had the torrential rain, there was somebody who needed to exit a cab, but the roadway was all flooded. So they got down on the ground. They laid down on the ground so this woman could get out of a cab and walk to
on his
curb.
Back.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it was a police officer.
Okay, that is way more chivalrous than throwing your coat down.
Isn't that amazing that somebody would do that?
It would have been better if he carried her.
Oh, yeah, I wonder why
did she have heels on? Because that would have hurt.
It would have made a lot more sense if he had carried her. I don't know why he didn't carry her, but I was so taken with just his gesture of, like, such a good guy. I'm going, boy, I wonder, because I like to think of myself as somebody who would do something like that, but when it comes down to it, it's like,
I would have just been like, pull up.
Right.
I mean,
pull up closer to the curb.
You could drown, you know.
Right. I know.
I do like, you know, doing random nice things to people. I do enjoy that.
Yeah. Did you ever do this was a thing for a while where at a toll booth you would pick up the tab of the guy coming
behind you. Too expensive
now. Yeah, you'd go bankrupt if you did that today.
Well, and I pass. You can't really do it.
Oh,
did you hear the story? We did it on John's show, I think, last week or the week before. It was for Father's Day. Some woman paid for the guy behind him. He had kids in the McDonald's line in southern Indiana.
Yeah.
I heard this.
And he was so moved that he paid for the person behind him.
Oh,
how many
nice.
People?
I think it was like over 100 people by the end of the day had paid for the person behind them.
Really?
Isn't that awesome?
That's a great story.
Oh, that is nice.
You're on the gamut, though. You might have somebody just getting an iced coffee, or you might have a van full of 10 kids.
Right. I bet there are people who, upon hearing of this, they would load up. They'd go, oh, man. I'd call some people really quick, get them in line with me.
You guys both just took a very positive story and put a dark twist
made
it on
ugly.
It. Thank you for that.
I will tell you, I heard you and John Williams talking about this story, and the next day I had gone to a McDonald's drive-thru, and I thought about it for a brief second, but I couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah,
I just couldn't.
All right, tell me how strange this is. When I was a kid, an avid baseball card collector, and Topps baseball cards were 10 cents for a pack of 10 cards. And I went and I got like 8 or 10 packs of cards, and then I got in line with a bunch of change, and I came up, I was like 14 or 15 cents short. And the lady behind me goes, well, don't worry about it, I'll pay. It was like 15 cents. But, all right, so I was 6 or 7. I'm still thinking about it all these years later, that this lady, when I, as a kid, it's like, because I had never seen that before. That's the first time I ever saw that. Somebody who I didn't know, it was only 15 cents, but still, she goes, please, don't worry about this. And she slides over the money, and my cards are paid for. But all these years later, I'm still thinking, wasn't that a nice thing?
I've done that on numerous occasions. Like, if it's
a kid.
You're
not saying this was you who did this, are you?
No, I'm not that much older than you. I would have been a kid going, come on, buddy, hurry up. Who needs baseball cards?
Well, buddy is in your vocabulary.
I know.
Today.
I'm sorry. See it? You start your day with Pete McMurray, and that's what happens.
Because even as a kid, I said to myself, why would James Spader go out of his way to pay for my baseball card?
I've done that, and I did it last week with a girl who was at Walgreens. Who didn't have enough money. She was buying one of those Arizona iced teas, which have been 99 cents. Have this on your Wintrust business lunch. It's been 99 cents since its inception a million years ago. It's still 99 cents.
Oh, it
cents.
Still is? It didn't
They've
go up
never
good.
Raised the price.
Good for them.
No, I was thinking of Walgreens, Wendy, because, I mean, I've been there. I will, this woman with a coupon in front of me for 30 cents or something, I'll pay it.
Oh,
here.
Just to get her, move her along.
Okay, let's hear. I know. I'll give you the 30
me.
Cents, please. I've already got to put in my security number. And my blah, blah, blah.
This girl had the iced tea and then she had some makeup.
Yeah.
And Lucille, my clerk at Walgreens that I always see, was ringing her up. And the girl's like, she's counting change and stuff. And she's probably 20 some years old. And she goes, well, just forget the makeup then because I don't have enough. So I go, how much is the makeup? And she's like, $8.99. I'm like, let's just do this.
Did you?
So
you
I
took
did
care
it.
Of it? Good.
I did it one time with an elderly gentleman, and he said, I don't need your money. Thank you. So you never know what you're going to get.
Well, he was just embarrassed. He was buying makeup.
He was.
Just some concealer.
He was.
Come on.
It wasn't his color either.
No.
A little too light for him.
Travesty. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got Chris Colfer coming up right after the news, so stick around. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with Chris Colfer, who has an incredible array of things on his resume. Let's start out with this. A number one New York Times best-selling author, not bad, a TV star, Golden Globe-winning actor for his work on Glee. He is appearing at Wentz Concert Hall. That's 171 East Chicago Avenue on the campus of North Central College in Naperville tonight at 7 o'clock. His sixth book is in my hand, The Land of Stories 6, Worlds Collide. Chris, how are you?
I'm great. How are you
great
guys?
Great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Add to the list, I don't know if you mentioned it, Time Magazine named you as one of the 100 most influential people in the world.
They never said it was a good influence. They just said it was an influence.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. I've kept myself busy over the years.
All right. What was the impetus to start writing these books? And you've done very well with these books. What started you off doing this?
I think just being a kid and having over an active imagination and an early introduction into caffeine really is what got me into writing and performing and all of it. I think I was obsessed with playing pretend when I was a kid. And that's still what I do. That's still pretty much what my jobs are.
Most kids, though, have a great imagination, and they live in a land of pretend, but they don't put it into words. Mm-hmm. You've done a great job with this.
Oh, thank you.
I bet you did very well in your English classes.
I was a horrible student.
Get
which
out.
Is kind of funny now. I barely graduated, because I was always I was just too busy for school. Like, I had all these projects in my head. I had all these ambitions, and school was very much a secondary thought for me. Which is funny, because I'm fairly intelligent, but
yeah.
I learned differently.
Did you
right?
explain to the teachers that at some point you would be one of the 100 most influential people in the world?
I did, and you know what? They didn't believe
they
me.
They weren't buying that?
No, I was usually more talking my way out of homework assignments.
Were you inspired by similar books when you were younger? Were you caught up in other worlds, literary worlds?
Yeah, to me, there's nothing more magical than just the children's book aisle in a bookstore. I just like the smell of it, just like all the color. I was just so taken by it as a kid. And of course, the Harry Potter series always will have a special place in my heart, because they are the series. They're the reason I became a reader, just to begin with. And I owe a lot to J.K. Rowling.
It's also fun to see that children's book aisle because you get to see adults sitting at very tiny chairs.
You do, yes. That is the best part. Me, yeah,
and it gets harder and harder to get up as you get older and older.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm like, I think I saw you on the news.
So what did you learn from J.K. Rowling? Was it something structurally? Did you figure out, wow, it's not just a book, it's a whole world?
I think so. Absolutely. I think mostly it was just I was not a good reader when I was a kid, and no. I had to have special courses and whatnot to learn to be a better reader. And the Harry Potter series was the only thing that ever inspired me to read. It was the only thing that made me excited to read. And you know, I wanted to keep up with Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and I wanted to keep up with all my friends who read the series. So if it weren't for that series, I don't know how I would have became.
Yeah.
All right, we are on book six, The Land of Stories, Worlds Collide. Can you give us an introduction? It's not like you can just jump in at this one, correct?
Yeah, no. There's about 3,000 pages you got to cover before this one. But in a nutshell, the series is about a pair of twins named Alex and Connor, and they inherit this magic storybook which transports them into the fairy tale world. And they have a lot of adventures in the fairy tale world. And then those adventures continue into the worlds of classic literature, and then at one point, they even have adventures in the worlds of their own creative writing. And so this last book, Worlds Collide, is about all three of those colliding in the middle of New York City.
Yeah.
And you are going to be over at North Central College tonight. People can purchase the books. This is through Anderson's Bookshop. You can go to andersonsbookshop.com to get all the details. But North Central College, Wentz Concert Hall, it's in Naperville tonight at 7. Mm-hmm. People can purchase this. Will you be autographing some?
I will, yes. What happens is I pre-sign all of them so no one has to wait in the line.
Perfect.
For me. Because, you know, luckily the lines were getting really long, so we've changed up the format. But so instead of having like 15 seconds with me, they'll get to spend an hour with me and we get to play games and do a Q&A and a costume contest, and it's a lot of fun.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is. That's unusual. Usually, yeah. A book signing, hi, what's your name?
Right,
you're
right.
Doing
get out.
Like a little, right. Yeah. You're doing a little performance kind
right.
of thing.
Pretty much.
They've told you to not physically say get out, right? You don't want to.
I haven't said it yet, but you know.
Good. What is your writing process like? Is there a routine to it? Mm-hmm. Is it random? What do you do?
It's less of a process and more like a cry for help.
Yeah.
Because I have absolutely no process. I have absolutely no method. I need a deadline to scare me into really, really sitting down and getting it done, because I'm a little bit of a procrastinator. I make outlines, but I usually crumble up the outlines and throw them away after, you know, the second or third chapter.
Yeah,
so it's just really anywhere I write, everywhere I write, I spread out on every surface of my house just until it's done.
I said to you before we started, I've looked over this and it's the sort of thing that would make for a pretty darn good movie.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You're way ahead of this. It's going to be a movie, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. 20th Century Fox just purchased the film rights, and we're going to be taking the books one at a time for now. We'll be adapting them into films, and I'll be writing and directing the first one.
Writing the screenplay and directing
yes.
it as well.
Yeah.
Are you nervous at all?
I'm more excited. I get nervous with every new venture, but I'm just so excited that I get to be the one to bring these characters to life, because it's very rare that an author ever gets to do that.
Are these characters something that you did you have these twins in your mind when you were younger?
Absolutely. These twins basically are me. They kind of represent my yin and yang of my personality. But yeah, Alex and Connor and the gang have been my imaginary best friend since I was a kid. I'm very excited to cast them and tell the costumer what they're going to wear, and I get to really make use of all my crazy. I can't wait.
Are you allowed to say who's in your mind cast-wise, or is that not allowed yet?
I suppose I could. I just, you know, being an actor, I was people's second and third choice a lot with projects, and I don't want to be that guy that you know makes people feel, you know, they don't want it, that they're not wanted or needed if I mention someone besides them.
Yeah. All right.
That's God, you fair. Are so young to have all your dreams coming true. Bill, what are we going to do with
You're
our
making
lives?
Us look bad.
I know.
I'm
sorry.
You're making us look really bad.
I get that a lot. I apologize.
So when does production start on the movie version of that? Is that coming up in a soon time, or is that way down the road a little bit?
It'll be down the road a little bit. We're still in very early pre-production. I have to finish the script first and go through the works, make sure we're all on the same page about the script, and then we'll get into pre-production. I think the bigger the reader grows, the more books that sell, the quicker it'll happen. So
will it be in 3D?
I don't know. I haven't had that conversation.
That's a great question. That's a stupid question.
Definitely color.
Color's good. People like color.
Yeah, these days. Yeah.
It's good move.
We'll see.
All right.
You know, I was just, Bill, I was telling you yesterday, I have a son who just graduated from high school and one who is starting high school, and the dreaded summer reading list has come out. Maybe someday the Land of Stories will be part of that. Wouldn't that be an exciting thing?
Oh, yeah, and I hear they're worth a lot of points on the summer reading list because they're very long books. So,
yeah.
And kids love them, so hopefully, that'd be a great opportunity.
Have there been times, Chris, where you've had to kill off a character in these books? To characters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what's
that
like? Is that emotional? Because you've known these characters since you were a little kid. And
how can you do that to them?
I know. I feel like a murderer. it's devastating. It makes for really good storytelling, I think. There's always a reason behind why I kill someone off.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's really tough. And there's a character that dies in the last book. And I killed them off because one of the reasons I was like, well, you know, someone needs to die here. You know, like it's that moment.
Do you say that a lot?
A lot. More than I should.
Someone needs to die here. That isn't healthy.
Usually when I'm watching C-SPAN. So I killed off this character thinking no one would really care. And then the next day I got a letter from a little girl saying that that character was her favorite. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to think I did this intentionally.
But you have so much time and energy invested in these characters that when you make that decision, like you said, it means something to people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think it means I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
If there are tears, that means you've done something right as an author.
Yep.
Yeah. Doesn't that suck though?
Yeah.
It does. It does.
Chris Colfer's here, number one New York Times bestselling author, Golden Globe winner for his work on Glee, appearing at Wentz Concert Hall tonight at 7:00. I'll give you a couple of websites. Andersonsbookshop.com has a bunch of information for you, as does thelandofstories.com. We'll pick this up in just a moment. If you want to dial us up, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Chris Colfer, number one New York Times bestselling author. Can you ever hear that too many times?
No, never. No.
Every time you hear that, right? Don't you just go, wait, me? I did that? Yeah, you did that. The number one New York Times bestselling author. He has a new book, The Land of Stories, Worlds Collide. It's his sixth in a series. Who's the target when you're writing this? Who's in your head? Who do you want reading this? Is there a specific age group or boys, girls, or everybody? Who are you thinking of?
I think I just think of the kids, especially the kids that I've met across the country on these tours. I always write just wanting to give them a story that'll entertain them, make them think, and take a break from their problems.
Yeah, and why else would you be a writer if not that?
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. Right.
And you're on Twitter. I saw that you met your favorite YouTuber.
I did yesterday. Yes, no. There's a little girl. Her name is Audrey Nethery. She's on YouTube, and she's about I don't know how she's very very tiny, but she just has the biggest heart and the most talent I've ever seen of a young kid. I invited her to my signing yesterday in Louisville, Kentucky, and her parents were nice enough to bring her.
So what's it? I mean, it's obviously exciting for you. She's your favorite YouTuber, but what was it like for her to meet you, a TV star, an author, somebody that she really admires? Was that a very exciting day for her?
You know, I was just so starstruck
that I didn't even ask.
I was just so excited. I mean, it's you know, when you meet someone, you know, they don't have to be a world leader or, you know, a famous celebrity. When someone that has brought you so much joy, you actually get to meet them, I think you kind of come bust inside.
Have there been others, Chris, over the last several years? You've been very high profile with the TV show and with the books. Mm-hmm. Have you met any celebrities that you've just said, wow, I can't believe I'm meeting this person?
Oh, my. I mean, constantly. I think one of my favorite memories of being on the set of Glee was talking with Shirley MacLaine about extraterrestrials.
Wow.
I was just like, she invited me into her trailer. We were watching the news together, and we were just talking about aliens. And I couldn't believe that was my life. I was so excited. But, yeah, no, and I love stories more than I love memories. So whenever I get to work with someone who is like a living legend, I love just to sit down and just pick their brain.
I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but I'm on andersonsbookshop.com And it looks like the event has sold out.
Yes. I think that's correct. Yes. Wow. Your guys' show is fantastic. Thanks for the plug.
There was only one ticket sold before you walked in, and now we sold.
Now you sold out. Thank you, guys.
Tens of thousands of tickets. So something's working.
Well, that's a bummer. If people are listening right now and want to come see you, tickets are no longer available for this event. You're going to have to come back to Chicago.
Yeah, or we can do a tailgate or something maybe in the Carol show. Yeah.
All right. That's doable. Let's go back to when you won the Golden Globe Award, because I remember sitting with my family and watching, and it just seemed like such an incredible moment for you. Was it hard to believe they're calling out your name? You won a Golden Globe. Is that a big deal for you?
I have no memory of that
you
moment.
Don't know?
No. I remember sitting. My biggest, honestly, because I did not think I was going to win. I was so excited to get the nomination, but I was like, "There's no. I'm 12. Like, there's no way I'm going to win over these guys who have been in the business for decades." You know. And so my biggest worry was just like because I was 20 at the time. I was just like watching the camera so they didn't catch me drinking the champagne at the table. That was my biggest concern. And so when they called my name, it was just I completely, thank God my old speech and debate kid skills kicked in and I said something poignant. But it was really an incredible moment.
Was the show a pleasant experience for you? I hope it was. Was it?
You know, it was, to this day, it's, I feel like people don't quite realize how much we worked. Mm-hmm. Like just, you know, the schedule, it was literally 80 hours a week, you know, dancing, singing, performing, and then doing world tours on weekends. So it really was physically, mentally, and emotionally sometimes exhausting. But I mean, I got to talk about aliens with Shirley MacLaine. So right. I mean, it wasn't right. all bad. I mean, I think if you can walk away with that kind of experience, it was
I always loved how you guys would do a song, a cover song of a song that had been out there forever. And then all of a sudden, if you went to iTunes, your version of the song was outselling the original artist's version
of
the
song. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy.
And now text, love him, didn't know he was a writer, and I don't think a lot of people do. So we got to get the word out
there. Thank you. No, I get that a lot. So thank you. Appreciate
the Land of Stories, Worlds Collide. This is number 6 right now.
Number six. Yeah, I have 13 books out, but that's the 6 in the series.
13 books. Mm. Could you stop being so successful?
I'm such a show off. I apologize.
How do you have 13 books in you?
I probably should be on medication, honestly. But
a little ADHD because we're an ADHD family.
Yeah, totally. There are voices, but they're beneficial.
And post-it notes are very helpful too. I have them all over the house.
Oh yeah, nice. Yeah, they're nice.
In 10 years, you'll be doing what?
Oh gosh, that's a hopefully maybe finishing up the Land Stories film franchise. Hopefully the first one does well and we can keep making movies. That would be the best reward.
Yeah.
And you know, movies means action figures.
Oh my, yes,
that would be
cool.
Of all the crap they made out of us from Glee, that was the one thing I wanted. I just wanted an action figure, and they never made an action figure.
It seems unnatural.
No,
why?
That's not fair.
No, I wanted a little Kurt Hummel figurine, and I wanted you to hit a button on his back, and he judged you. And they just, the merchandise folks didn't
ironically, they make something called Hummel figurines.
I know.
Why wouldn't it be a Kurt Hummel Hummel? Why didn't that never happen?
I know. You can lead a horse to water.
What kid is going to buy a Hummel? Come
a
on, those
German
are for grandmas.
Figure,
yeah, yeah, right, right. They're a little creepy. They wink at you sometimes. Yeah.
And you've been crazy on tour all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's not a tri-state area I haven't been to in the last decade. Right.
And Jimmy Fallon was fun. Somebody wanted me to ask you about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I love Jimmy Fallon. He's a sweetheart. Yeah,
he's just goofy, funny, you know?
One of your co-stars on Glee is a friend of my wife's, Jane Lynch. Both acted together here in Chicago for years and years. As nice a person behind the scenes as you'd imagine. I mean, I know on TV sometimes she plays somebody who's a little hard to deal with, but in real life, a very nice lady.
Oh, absolutely. I think Jane is one of those people you meet and you just love her even more and you think that's impossible beforehand.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love her. I think she is family to me and she's my neighbor actually.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. So she lives around the corner.
It's so funny. Here in Chicago, she was doing little bit parts on commercials for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden, supernova.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I know. She deserves it. She's what a talent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hate to send people to a Wentz Concert Hall at North Central College tonight at 7. That's out in Naperville because the show is sold out. It's through AndersonsBookshop.com. You will be doing a little meet and greet, a little do I say performance beforehand?
I do some reading from the book. We play trivia. We do a costume contest. I do a Q&A, and then we have a raffle where I draw winners, and the winners get to meet me backstage and have a little one-on-one time.
That's really cool.
That's excellent. Yeah. If they were making a movie about you, mm-hmm. who would play you? You can't play you. Somebody else has to come in and play you. Who do you want to play you in the movie of you?
I mean, can it just be Meryl Streep? I mean, yeah, I just want it done right. Streep.
You know what? She's such a great actor. She could do it.
You know, actually, I got asked once and I had the best answer, and that is Octavia Spencer. Because at least you know the audience is going to be on her side. Like, you can't watch Octavia Spencer not right. be in love with her.
Every time.
Right,
every
right.
Every time.
Another text just came in. My daughter loves the Land of Stories series and has been furiously reading book 6 this week. Aww. Thank you so much for writing such a wonderful series.
Oh, I hope she likes the 6th one.
You know what's important, and I don't know if it gets lost on you because you're doing this every day, but like J.K. Rowling before you, it's making kids realize mm-hmm. what a wonderful world reading is. Mm-hmm. You know, now mm-hmm. everybody's attention span mm-hmm. is a little smaller than it used to be.
Right.
But to just sit down with a novel, with a book, mm-hmm. it's a dying art. You're right. keeping it alive.
It's an intimacy thing that people are losing.
Yeah.
And kids are losing. I love to add to that world because that world helped me so much as a
yeah.
kid.
Yeah, good.
Such a pleasure to meet you. Everybody's geeking out over the text lines right now. What book are you talking about? Who is it? We've told you. It's Chris Colfer, The Land of Stories, Worlds Collide. And tonight, North Central College in Naperville, Wentz Concert Hall. Tonight at 7, if you're lucky enough to have tickets. If not, you're going to have to come back to Chicago.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Yeah, we should have done two shows.
Second show just added. Second they were right. good with rock shows.
Should have done that.
Next time.
Pleasure to meet you.
You too. Thank you for having
me. Thanks, Chris. It's Chris Colfer, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll get some news in and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Ian Schur is here from CNET. Wait, don't laugh yet, Wendy. We will have time for merriment. It'll be time for merriment. Ian Schur, CNET's news executive director, joins us to talk about the world of technology. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm very good. I was just telling Wendy, and I know it's on the list of things to talk about. Disney now owns the Star Wars franchise. They bought this from George Lucas, a hostile takeover a couple of years ago. All right, so there's a whole bunch of cross-pollination between Disney and Star Wars, and you wanted to discuss the new Star Wars Jedi game, but then I wanted to take it a little step further and tell, and maybe you're already aware of this, but Disney just had this conference, this D23 conference, where they showed the new Star Wars land that'll be at Disney World and Disneyland and their new immersive hotel experience. Are you up on this at all?
I am. I mean, they didn't say much, right? Really what they're doing, they actually announced this last year, I believe, and they first showed the first photos of it.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool. I mean, if you think about what they were able to do to Harry Potter World with Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there recently, and it's rather amazing just how realistic it feels and how much you feel like you're in the movie, down to the music that plays when you're walking through the doors.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably going to be very similar, right? And you're going to feel as though you are suddenly immersed in the movie, and they're probably going to have a lot of really nifty things. You know, in Harry Potter World, you can wave a wand and stuff happens as if you're being magical.
Right.
I imagine you'll be able to do the same stuff with the Force, right? I mean, you can imagine a lot of stuff they'll do that's going to be similar using a lot of the same ideas.
Although Bill told me something that might be a deal breaker. My husband was just at Skywalker Ranch yesterday. He does a podcast, Rebel Force Radio. He loves Star Wars, pushes it on me. I thought, oh God, I will actually partake in this, but you just said something to me that might have queered the deal.
Just announced that.
What's that?
The hotel will be so immersive, meaning you'll feel like you're in a Star Wars galaxy. The hotel will have views, like instead of, you know how at a regular hotel you look out the window and you see real stuff? Well, at this one, it'll look like you're in space. It's a 3D version of space that you're looking out into. And it said that when you check into the hotel, you'll be given the option to wear Star Wars related clothing during your stay. And you can even sign up to have a bounty hunter follow you around during your stay.
Well, that I'd like.
And try to catch you and imprison you. That seems like a little bit much.
Bags for you. They're going to try and catch you.
Yeah.
Although, Ian, you said something with the Harry Potter world. It makes you feel like you're in the movie. Obviously, if people dress up, you feel like you're in the movie. But I am not taking part in that. You sure it's optional?
Yeah, I'm sure it's optional. It's optional.
All right, I'm back in now.
They can't force it on you. You're paying money.
Right.
But the other thing is that at Harry Potter World, they sell the robes that all the kids wear.
Right.
They're very expensive and very hot in the summer, which is when I was there.
Yeah.
But they sell them. And I will tell you, it didn't matter how muggy and hot it was. I was in the Florida one. There were kids running around in those things. They wanted to dress up like it.
All right, so it works with Harry Potter and it works with Star Wars, but my wife and I did this Manchester by the Sea immersive experience, and I got to tell you, Ian, it was not pleasant.
A lot of handkerchiefs.
A lot of sadness.
It works.
All right, well, what's this Star Wars Jedi game?
Yeah, so it was actually announced the same time. We don't know much other than a teaser video that they put. We have it on CNET. But what it's using is augmented reality glasses. You know, this promise of being able to have glasses that you wear that layer on computer imagery on the real world. So imagine you're looking at your bedroom and suddenly an alien pops out from behind your dresser.
Mm.
This is very similar technology. So they're going to offer this, and what it's going to be, at least from the hinting that they're doing, is that you're going to basically be able to feel like you're learning to be a Jedi. So you're going to have a lightsaber that they sell with it, and you're going to be able to go through and experience training to be a Jedi. I imagine there will be quite a few broken paintings and televisions in people's homes,
yep.
But it could be super cool, right? I mean, the idea, you know, one of the real promises of this immersive technology is that you don't have to spend millions of dollars on building a realistic world that they can walk into. You can have it recreated in their homes. And so this could be super cool.
That is pretty cool. That
does sound
like
fun. Yeah. Yeah. And how far off? I mean, I know it's just in concept stage, but how soon do you think this will be available to the mass public?
Oh, I don't think it's in concept. I think knowing Disney and the way that they do products and the way they announce things, this thing is pretty far along. They wouldn't announce it unless they were planning to eventually sell it. So I would be betting, I mean, you know, the next Star Wars movie is coming up in December. If they don't have it ready by then someone's probably really in trouble at Disney.
It's a Tech Tuesday here on WGN. We're talking to Ian Schur, CNET News Executive Editor, and all fun and games with Star Wars and Harry Potter, but something that is in the news and very important. Tell us about these police body cameras that might soon be able to help find missing people.
Yeah, it's a super interesting idea. You know, first off, we know that it's becoming a trend that the police are wearing body cameras more and more, right? It's becoming a normal part of their jobs. And there is this big effort nationally to get as many police equipped with them as possible. So one of the things, of course, naturally you can do once you have cameras on all these people is start applying computer intelligence to them and do stuff like start looking for people who are missing, right? And so now they actually are testing software that would run inside the camera, and as they're walking around, normal day, they would be looking at all the faces of the people they're looking at and say, hey, is this a missing person? And if it is, then they alert the police and they find them. And
that
is an amazing idea. I don't know if it'll work, but it's really cool that they're trying.
That sounds brilliant. I didn't know that they were this close to something like that. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, and I mean, there is the negative end of it, right, which is the concerns about surveillance. And let's say that there's a political enemy and someone uses it for that reason, then there's definitely something to be worried about. But on the positive end, you know, Amber Alerts are a big deal. Kids getting lost is a big deal. Even in a you know, if it's a minor thing, like a kid lost at the Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
Like being able to use those cameras in that way would be, I mean, I can imagine right now, I've got a 14-month-old, I would be so comfortable with the idea that, you know, all the police would be looking for him if I lost him just a second ago, you know?
So, Ian, if they have this technology and they can use it for missing persons, couldn't they also use it for felons who are on the lam and that sort of thing? They could, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, we don't know how far this technology can go, right? It's very easy to start thinking like Hollywood level, you know, that it can just identify anyone in any circumstance. You know, a lot of felons tend to not be near police, right? They
right.
try to avoid them.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you remember the last few manhunts we saw on TV, often they ended in the woods or they ended pretty far from cities. So I would imagine that this is something that's much more useful for missing people rather than felons who are trying to hide in plain sight, if you will. because it's just not smart to do that, not to give any suggestions to anyone. So that's kind of probably what it'll end up being.
See, if that doesn't give you inspiration to abide by the law and be a good, honest person, I don't know what does.
Right.
And how did you celebrate World Emoji Day yesterday, Ian?
Well, you know, with a lot of happy face emojis, of course.
Sure.
You know, it was, in fact, you know, it's funny. My wife and I have very much increased our use of emoji. And it's really fascinating because, you know, I used to think they were super silly, right? They started in Japan, like back in the 90s. And when they started really getting popular in the United States because of our smartphones, I thought, oh, this is silly. But it's amazing how much people have started using them. And my wife will often use like the really sad face emoji when she's trying to be silly or when she's really frustrated. And it just works in so context. And so now Apple has announced they announced for World Emoji Day yesterday what the new emojis are going to be coming in the fall. And among them, they're really fascinating. There's a head exploding one, which I think is great, right? When your mind is blown.
Right.
I'm going to text that to you, Bill, every day.
All right. Good.
They also are going to do, there's a vomiting emoji, which a lot of people have been asking for.
We're going to get that from the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. One of the more interesting ones is a woman with a headscarf, which is, you know, much more on the cultural end of emojis. There's a lot of discussion about making emoji more inclusive and showing of more people than just, you know, generic white or yellow skinned emoji. And then another one that I think is really interesting is a breastfeeding mother emoji. And again, having gone through this with my son, you know, it's really interesting. If you look at it, there's a picture of it on CNET. The woman is not covered, right? She's happy. The baby looks calm. And it's much more, you know, it's part of this conversation in our culture, like being comfortable with this type of idea, which if you read mommy blogs, people still struggle with it in some places.
Ian, how did authors like Hemingway and Faulkner get their novels done without a little picture of a piece of pizza or a cupcake or a snowflake? I don't know how it
would have been more exciting if they used it.
But I'll tell you, I've heard this thing brought up to me many times. The end of civilization. English is dying as a language.
Yeah.
I will point out to you that the Egyptians were using imagery in their language. Hieroglyphs were a thing.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, we're just coming full circle.
I guess.
I never used them either, Ian. I was like you. I, you know, forbid myself from using them, thought they were real stupid. Our producer, Kevin, has his own signature emoji, which involves what, Kevin?
It's a flexi arm, a thumbs up, and a sunglasses face.
Nice. Very nice.
That's three emojis.
Yeah, right. But that's his signature. That's, you know, an all-encompassing Kevin emoji.
Yeah.
I hated them and never used them. And honestly, when you're texting someone some kind of snide remark, which I do frequently, sometimes have to put that emoji to show you're kidding.
Well, and that's the thing. It conveys emotion really well. And to the point that when Facebook was dealing, you remember a couple years ago, there was this huge pressure on Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, to have a thumbs down.
Yes.
Right? And he resisted it because he thought like it would make people very mean and it would cause a lot of change to Facebook. Instead, what they did is they came out with all these emoji, right? And you've got the happy face, you've got the ha-ha, the wow. And I will tell you, again, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, this is silly.
Yeah.
People use it all the time. I mean, if you look at your friends' posts, you see people are using every one of these things. And even during the holidays, there's the flower for Mother's Day, there's the gay pride parade, the gay pride flag for pride. And people are using them all the time. It really works well. It's really interesting how pictures really, right, if we want to get philosophical, convey emotions so well and sometimes even better than words themselves.
Why buy your mother real flowers when you can send her a picture of a flower? It's so much better.
Hey, picture of a flower is forever,
yes.
Right?
You're right.
Although I am so glad they added these various emojis that you could put up on Facebook. Because, Bill, you said something the other day. Somebody lost their grandparent, and they write this lovely tribute, and people click like.
Right.
It's weird, but now you can click on the little the little single tear face, which shows, you know, nice post, sorry to hear about your grandpa.
Yeah.
So that makes more sense.
All right.
Well, and sometimes it's very hard to, especially in those situations, to respond, right? Like everyone's responding the same thing, right? We feel for you. I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And you don't want to be the 1500th person to do that. And so it's really interesting. I spoke with some social psychologists when these things came out. And they said that's one of the really big benefits of that thing, like the sad face, is that it's a way of telling that person, hey, I saw you, I recognize you, I feel for you, without having to push too far or spend that much time like thinking about what you'll say. And that's beneficial for everyone.
See, Bill, you start using emojis.
I just do a barbershop poll for every one of them. That's not the right one, is it? I'm doing it wrong. All right, we must take a break. Ian, can you stick around for just a couple more minutes? Are you okay time-wise?
Absolutely.
All right, with Ian Schur from CNET. He's the CNET News Executive Editor. If you have any questions or comments, you know how to get us. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. We're talking with Ian Schur, CNET News' Executive Editor. Ian, Elon Musk is in the news again. How come?
Well, he does not like artificial intelligence, which is interesting because Elon Musk is the CEO of Tesla, and Tesla cars use AI to be able to smart drive around. But nonetheless, he went to the National Governors Association on Saturday, and he warned them that not only is AI, and let me find the quote here, it's something like one of the most dangerous, the biggest risk we face as a civilization. So, you know, he's not underselling it.
Mm-mm.
He says that we need to start regulating this very quick. And he's been beating this drum for a while. Back a couple of years ago, he was starting to talk about it. Last year, he helped fund a research group along with Sam Altman and Peter Thiel, two very high-profile VCs, to make sure that artificial intelligence doesn't, quote, run amok. And so this is something he's worried about. It's really interesting because he's a really smart guy. He's obviously very successful, and people listen to him. But I've talked to a lot of AI experts, and we've written stories on CNET. And they say that some of this concern is overblown. They say, look, the concern about what could happen with, you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator future is really kind of a pushing what will actually probably happen.
But he does have, there's a genuine fear that, like, if you ever watch the Sci-Fi Channel, half of the programming is about this sort of thing, where they have it in their mind to just take over the world. It's a legitimate concern to him, though, huh?
It is. It really is. And look, I think he doesn't see it as the comical Hollywood version.
Yeah.
I think what he's worried about is somewhat of the stuff that we were talking about before the break, where you've got like police body cameras that are looking for, you know, both missing people and also being used in repressive regimes to find political people they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where AI can be dangerous, right? And I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, we've already seen that computer programs can be written to help take down the internet. We had that huge internet outage that happened last year. We've had hackers using computer programs to get into major companies, and using artificial intelligence to do that type of stuff is pretty scary. And that's probably where the most concern should be and would be, and probably where he's putting his efforts. What's interesting about Musk as well is that he hasn't given examples, right? He's not talking like, if left alone, AI could do this or could do that. He doesn't give examples. He just warns that it's dangerous. And so it's hard to say, well, you're wrong, because we don't really know what he's warning about, right? He's just saying governors and governments need to make sure that they're regulating this appropriately now versus waiting, you know, till 10, 15 years down the road when it's already in trouble and we need to start fixing it.
And you mentioned computers, and we've heard in the news that a lot of people are being recruited into terrorism via the computer. What news do you have on that for us?
Yeah, so there's this messaging app called Telegram that it's very secure, right? It's actually very popular inside Washington, D.C. because, you know, people are able to rumor without having to worry about it being listened in on. It's also popular overseas and, unfortunately, among terrorists. And so one of the things that the guy who owns Telegram just said recently was that he said all terrorist-related public channels that he's been able to find, that the company's been able to find, they've been banning them, and that they've really put an effort into trying to stop this. And it's a huge problem. If you look at the United Kingdom and at Brazil and a bunch of other countries now, they are trying to pass laws to force messaging companies to give access, especially when terrorism is involved. And all of these companies are resisting it because they're, you know, the way they build the security in these programs, if you open it up for one reason, suddenly they can get in for anything. And so they're very worried about this, and it's caused a lot of tension between technology companies and governments when it comes to terrorism and other issues.
Ian, we have less than a minute. I just don't know if you saw this story. I saw this morning about this DC security robot in the office building that ran amok. Did you see this?
Are you talking about the one that ended up in the
fountain?
In the pool?
Yeah.
So that was one of those funny things. You know, look, these things are just starting out. Every story I read said that it had, quote unquote, committed suicide, which I thought was a little weird.
Right.
I think what happened is that a couple of teenagers were playing around and something happened. That's my guess is what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love to laugh.
It just shows that we're on the verge of something.
We're just not
quite there yet. We're trying our best.
No, we're definitely not quite there either way, right?
No,
whether it was teenagers or the machine itself just kind of screwed up and ended up taking a left when it should have taken a right.
Yep.
Still, it was. There's something wrong here.
Thank you so much. He's Ian Schur, CNET News Executive Editor. Thanks for sitting in on a Tech Tuesday.
My pleasure.
Bye, Ian. Thanks. We'll take a quick break. We've got some news for you and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Can I tell you, this was my second choice of bump-in music. My first choice, Kevin and I have just spent the last five minutes trying to search for this. I don't know if you'll remember this, but sometime in the late 60s or early 70s, there was a commercial on. And they would sing a song. It's a Russian drinking song. And they'd go, drink, 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 Nostrovia, drink, drink, drink. Remember that? Do you remember that commercial? I don't know what it was for, but we just...
Stroh's beer?
No, it wasn't a beer.
Vodka?
Was it a vodka?
Well, if it's Russian, probably.
But...
I remember the song, but I don't.
You don't remember that it was a commercial?
We sang that at family parties, but I don't remember the commercial.
I can't remember what it was for, but Kevin and I we scoured the internet. We looked everywhere. We couldn't find it. It was sometime in the late 60s or early 70s, but I don't know that it had to do with. I think it was just like a juxtaposition of playing that song with something that wasn't alcohol. Anyway.
Someone might know. If you know, 312.
Because I can't remember what it was.
981-7200.
Drink, Nostrovia, they would sing. Back around 1970.
It sounds familiar, but I don't recall it.
I can't remember what it was. All right.
I would like to talk about SWI, shopping while intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it. Mm-hmm. I love going to the outlet malls in Rosemont.
Yeah.
And they don't have this place anymore. I'm bummed. It was a little Italian restaurant. And my girlfriend Sue and I would go and have a couple splits of champagne. And then we would shop. And it was very fun. And it's an indoor mall.
So you would get the drinks.
We'd get our drink on.
But
I know you love when
I
people
hate that
say
phrase.
That.
That is one of the most trite overused. But it was at a different establishment. It wasn't the place that was selling the clothes or whatever.
No,
you were
it
buying.
Was within the mall.
Right.
And we would go have a little cup of minestrone and a salad, and we'd have some champagne, get a little buzz going.
Yeah.
And then we'd go shopping. And I saw this in the Wall Street Journal today. Property developers are pushing for open drinking on city streets. So not an enclosed mall.
Mm-hmm.
Cities want to allow patrons to walk around with open containers to generate buzz in retail spots. And this is open-air shopping districts. They are lobbying regulators to relax the open container rules and allow patrons to walk around the streets and parks with alcoholic beverages in hand. It could create problems.
It could.
Again, if anyone, you know, ruins it for other people and gets too drunk, they should be evicted. But I'm telling you, it is really fun to be able, you can't walk around the mall in Rosemont with a drink, but if you could, I'm telling you right now, there are a lot more impulse buys that we did, and
I'm sure.
It was more fun.
Yeah.
Because you're just kind of shopping while drinking. You know, a lot of women have these open houses with little boutiques where you can walk around with wine or a beer or something, and it's just more fun. You'll spend more time shopping and in turn buy more stuff.
When my family was in New York a couple months ago, and I don't remember seeing this here in Chicago, but it was prevalent in New York. I don't know how new of a thing it was, but many of the shops, not just one or two, but many of the shops, when you went in, the person who approached you would say, if you want some wine or champagne or beer, we have some. And they would offer you, and it was like high-end wine and beer. I'm trying to remember what store I was in. A store that they do have here, and they had Stella Artois. There was like a case of it. Just, do you want some? How much do you want?
Do you pay glasses? For it?
No, it's on the house. But I do think people are more inclined then to be more open in their purchases if they've
absolutely.
Had a drink or two.
And it turns into an event, you know?
Right.
I can't speak for everyone, but I know that I would love to walk around with a beer while shopping or a little bubbly.
Yeah.
I mean, not overusing it.
Have you done it while at the grocery store? Because, you know, you can do it at Mariano's.
A lot of stores,
a lot of places do that now. Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I don't care if they charge. I would like to buy, like, downtown, for instance, Michigan Avenue. I would like to go get a beer at Howell's and Hood and then have a to-go cup and just, you know, I'm going
to. You can't. You have to stay on their property.
Right. But that's what these people are trying to.
Lobbying to have that changed. But what happens, even though hopefully this wouldn't happen often, what happens if somebody is taking advantage of this and then gets into an accident on the way home? Who's responsible? Well,
who's responsible at a bar?
I guess so.
Or a restaurant? Or
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just, it would make shopping much more fun.
Except you're physically making the purchase yourself, so you're accepting some of the responsibility. If in New York, if somebody was just given free alcohol and they couldn't handle it well and then crashed.
Well, the free I don't agree with. This is what happened. 3 years ago, Atlanta-based developer Vantage Realty Partners, LLC, proposed an open container ordinance in Duluth, Georgia, where it developed a retail and entertainment complex called Parsons Alley. It was in a historic district town downtown area. The ordinance was passed this year. Every restaurant and retailer loved it. It increases their sales. Their customers don't have to stay confined in their premises. They can walk to the town green or the fountain with a drink, do some shopping. I think that's a great idea.
Can't you do that at Navy Pier? Isn't Navy Pier the only place in Chicago where you're allowed to just get a drink and walk around with it? I think it is.
Yes. Brookfield Zoo, I was there
Brookfield
this weekend,
Zoo, you can
too.
Also?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Walt Disney World, you know, the main park, Magic Kingdom. God, why won't they let you have
a beer? No, they don't
sell. I know. That's all I want. I don't want to get drunk. I want to have a nice, crisp, cold beer. Every other Disney park allows it except for Magic Kingdom. Princesses drink. I am one of them.
That's the bumper sticker Wendy bought at Disney World.
I did.
With a drunk bell.
Nikki wants to maybe help your thought
process
here.
Oh, please. Nikki, what was it? Do you remember what I'm talking about, the song?
Hi, guys. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I think it was Tyrolia. It was a wine. It was drink, 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 Tyrolia.
Maybe
drink,
that's
drink,
what it was.
Drink. Yeah.
Yes, not Nostrovia.
Well, Nostrovia is Russian for like
Nostrovia.
Bottoms up.
No, I'm
Tyrolia.
Polish, so it's not, yeah, it's Tyrolia, right.
Is that product still made or is that long ago?
I don't think so. I think it went bye-bye a long time ago.
Drink, 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 Tyrolia. That sounds right. And it was like around 1970, right? Somewhere in there?
Well, yeah, because I enjoyed it at that time.
Yeah.
And, and my son was born in 71.
Oh.
So it had to be around that time.
Was he inspired by Tyrolia the drink?
I think he was.
He might have been. All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's very smart now.
Nikki, thank you.
Thank you. Bill can sleep tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, thank God for that. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Here's what I found. I found a Aquafina commercial that must have used this as inspiration.
Really?
And then there's also a movie, The Student Prince, starring Edmund Purdom, where that song is also kind of featured. So I have those if you want.
All right. Yeah. Play one when we come back.
Okay, and someone is saying, shame on me and my idea. First of all, it's not my idea. They've done this in Georgia.
You just endorsed the idea, but it's not your idea.
No, and I would partake in it. They have open air alcohol laws in Savannah, Georgia. It's great. Someone texted.
Las Vegas, I think, too. I always see people walking around with cups of drinks.
They're walking around naked, too.
There's that. Are you saying you're not allowed to do that here?
No.
All right.
815 said you should have come to Morris this past weekend. It was Sip and Shop. Google it to find out more. 400 people took part. Sip and Shop!
That sounds tailor-made for you.
Shopping with alcohol, do tipsy shoppers return more merchandise than sober shoppers? I bet yes, but here's the deal. A lot of times we will buy something,
right?
And you get home and you're like, what was I thinking? That's even sober.
Yeah.
And it's a hassle to return things sometimes if it's somewhere far away. So the retailers are still making out.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you return something, you return something.
You can see the retailers making out?
That's in Vegas. Shame on Wendy's bad idea.
Yes.
It's not my
idea. I texted that in.
Wife and I were shopping in Cozumel, went to jewelry store after lunch. We were offered beer and tequila. Wife bought fake amber jewelry, fun, but got completely ripped off. That's your problem.
I could see that happening.
I love it. Well, it's working in Georgia. All the restaurateurs are happy. Local city council and zoning boards from Georgia and Alabama to Texas and Iowa in recent months have proved amenable to changing land use and public drinking ordinances to boost activity in once bustling shopping districts.
Do you think that would work here? Do you think they'd be open to that? Yeah.
Especially in the summertime. You go to Oak Brook. I love going to Oak Brook Mall.
Right.
It would be nice to have, you know, not overuse it. You know, if people overuse alcohol in a bar, they're a pain.
Right.
They need to be removed. But
right.
just to have a couple of drinks while shopping, I'm all for
it. It's a more pleasant experience, you say.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got calls lined up. We're at 312-981-7200. Shame on you, Wendy. And then we'll play a little snippet of that song. Drink, 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 Tyrolia.
Yes.
Is that what we discovered? All right. So we'll get a little listen on that and then more discussion in Spillin' Wendy WGN. This is it.
This is the Aquafina commercial.
This is it. Thank you, Nikki. You saved my life. Do you remember this song?
Yeah.
Beautiful song.
I do, Tyrolia. I do remember that
one. I couldn't remember. I in my head, it was Nostrovia because that's a Russian drinking cheer, but it is Tyrolia.
What's funny is your memory, because you were probably a kid when you watched it.
Yeah, a little kid.
You said, it had nothing to do with the alcohol. It was just fun.
Right. It was just people having fun. What's wrong with that?
Well, people are having fun shopping while drinking in an Atlanta-based suburb. 3 years ago, they started in Duluth, Georgia. It developed a retail and entertainment complex called Parsons Alley. It's a historic district downtown area.
In Atlanta?
Just outside of Atlanta in Duluth. The ordinance was passed this year. Every restaurant, every retailer loves it. It increases their sales. Customers can grab a drink and get it in a plastic cup and mm-hmm. walk around and shop and do things. Someone has texted us and said, walking, talking, and drinking. And then in all caps, it says, warning, lock up your children.
Yeah, I could see where some people, that might be like two events too many for some.
815 says more men will shop with their wives if they can have a drink.
Without a doubt. That's true.
Nordstrom used to do that, the one in Oak Brook. There was a little bar in the basement, and you'd see all the men in there. Instead of sitting on the chairs outside the dressing room, all the men would be holding court down in the little Nordstrom bar at Oak Brook.
You know, to Kim's point, I've been in a couple of grocery stores by me. Whole Foods does it. Mariano's does it. And it's like a high-end selection of beers and wines, and yeah, you can either walk around and do your shopping or just sit in their bar area. That's a nice touch.
I like that, and the cup holder on your grocery cart helps.
Yeah,
our Mariano's doesn't have that.
No.
I'd have to go to a farther one. 630, hi Wendy, with your idea of having alcohol in Magic Kingdom is the most idiotic thing ever. We want to enjoy the magic of Disney and not the drunk adults running around it. Sincerely, two annoyed 15 and 13 year olds. You know, not everyone who has a beer or two is annoying, and you can drink at every other Disney park.
Yeah, I know at Epcot, people do this thing where it's called
drink around the world.
Where they have a beer in each of the countries. But yeah, at Disney World, at the Magic Kingdom part.
I just want a cold beer.
Right. Remember they had Drunky the Dwarf for a couple of years, and kids were afraid of him.
That's really funny.
Or Barfy. What was his name? I don't remember.
It was it's pathetic.
He was the eighth dwarf.
Dave has a comment about this shopping while intoxicated.
Yes. Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
There are several things that people do, not the obvious, like driving a motor vehicle, but you can get a DWI, dialing while intoxicated, which
right.
I am not. Which
right.
I am not
at this time.
You could do FWI. That's Facebook while intoxicated.
Yeah.
Never good.
No, and then you never, when you're sober, you never go shopping when you're hungry.
Oh, that's grocery true. Shopping, yeah.
That's yeah, that can never work.
Unless you're going to cook it when you get home. Otherwise, you look in the freezer and say, why did I buy that?
Right.
Right.
You know, these are some of the things that kept me out of the really good schools. But anyway.
Dave, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Have a good week.
Okay.
Bye. Jerry's on the line, 312-981-7200. Shopping while drinking?
No. On the Tyrolean drink thing.
Yeah.
One last comment here. I remember the Tyrolean commercial quite well, but there was also a commercial where they were singing "Eat, Eat, Eat," and that this guy was going from banquet to banquet eating meatballs.
That's the one I'm thinking of. That's absolutely the one I'm thinking of.
Wasn't that Big Al, the banquet guy who was also on Happy Days?
Al Del Vecchio, no.
Yeah, he was a portly fellow, and he was just kind of burping along. Pretty soon he needed Rolaids or something.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Wow, good memory, Jerry. That sounds right. Because I remember, despite what you were hearing in the song, the message was different. I think that's it. He was eating too much, and he needed Rolaids. That sounds absolutely right.
Right, kind of on the line. Remember, that's a spicy meatball commercial too.
Yes,
that's a spicy meatball.
Yes,
yeah, it was something about an antacid thing. But good show. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Jerry. He solved the mystery.
He did. All right, the bar in Nordstrom was on the second floor between men's suits and men's ties.
In
back
Oakbrook?
In the day, you could even smoke in there.
Yeah.
Wow. In Europe, booze is allowed almost everywhere in public. They're not as insane as we are here in the States.
So why are they able to handle it better in Europe than we are here in the United States, do you think?
They're more well-mannered.
Is that what it is?
I really believe
it's manners?
So. Come on, Bill. This topic is begging for a drunk Mickey Mouse impersonation. Beer and Magic Kingdom. Come on.
I'm trying to lay off it, Wendy. I'm trying my best.
I bet you're a lot of fun when you've had a...
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Does Minnie drink?
Oh, yeah. She likes... She likes the Limeritas.
Really?
Yeah, she lines them up one after another.
Huh.
Pop, pop, pop.
You know, speaking of your fantastic character voices,
yes.
There's an audition you should be doing.
What's the audition?
The guy who was doing Kermit the Frog got fired.
I saw that, but I don't understand why. Does it say why he got fired?
Maybe we should explain that and look into it on the stream.
All right. All right. Let's
Can we do
that.
That.
Yeah, I knew that. I just saw that he had been fired, and he wasn't happy about it. But
they weren't happy with him, hence the firing.
Oh no! All right. Yeah. All right. We'll discover what that's all about on the stream. If you want to join us there, it's easy to do. Go to our Facebook page, Bill F. and Wendy Snyder, and just click on the link. It's very easy to find, and I think you'll enjoy it. Stick around. We'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.